Now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's talk hookup. Get ready for more of the best fishing information and the hottest tips on improving your angling skills. Let's Talk Hookup is sponsored in part by Yamaha Outboards. Reliability starts here. Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Shimano Rods and Reels. Fish with the best. Shimano. And by Rancho Leonero, where your wildest Baja dreams come true. And now, Southern California's sports fishing voice, the hosts of Let's Talk Hookup, Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
Welcome back, hour number two. Let's Talk Hookup right here on the Let's Talk Hookup app and radio network. Pete Gray, Corey Sandin here as Rock Cod Rick's take a little well-deserved weekend off with his lovely wife.
Well-deserved.
Yeah, for sure. And John Collins, the man, the guru of the knots and long-range fishing, is here. God, what a great show, and learning a lot every day from this incredible man.
I love it, learning all the time. And if you want to learn more, too, give us a shout at 833-288-0973. Anybody that calls is going to get their chance at a pair of Maui Jims.
Are you kidding me?
I know, right? Right?
Wow.
I mean, how does it get any better than that? Well, there's an overnight trip on the 22nd, out of 22nd Street on the Freedom, plus the Bill Varney calendar, and John brought in that trip on the Freedom. So, two different winners.
Thanks to Mark Paisano and then John for putting that together. 22nd Street Landing, the best landing in L.A. and San Pedro.
No question about that.
For sure. And those guys, the Freedom, what a fabulous boat.
They have done so much to that boat the last few years. A few years ago when Mark and Jeff got into it, they put a lot of money into it.
Yeah.
It's very obvious what they did. I mean, it's a beautiful boat.
And sister ship to the Liberty, too, right?
That's correct.
Yeah, and just which is just a beautiful, both of them beautiful platforms. And right there at 22nd Street Landing, somebody's going to go on an overnight trip on the Freedom, Bill Varney calendar, and then another lucky winner is going to win those Byron Bay Maui Jim sunglasses.
You got fantastic skipper. You got Jeff on the Freedom, and you got Taro on the Liberty. I mean, what more could a guy ask
boy.
For?
Right? Got it covered, north and south, right?
Absolutely.
Well, let's got it covered right now with the catch report, Corey.
Let's do it, Pete. And the report is sponsored by Blue Guard Innovations, making smart bilge pumps, switches, and sensors designed to protect you, your vessel, and the environment. If your boat lives in the water and you've not installed the BG1 oil and fuel detector, you could be risking thousands in fines. The BG1 will detect oil in your bilge before you dump it into the water. Just one of the several switches and sensors made by Blue Guard Innovation. Check bluebgi.com or get the affordable products at San Diego Marine Exchange. I wonder if that guy in the Cabo you saw at the...
I know. I don't think he had a BG1. Yeah.
No, but I wonder if he's discovered it.
But I'll tell you what, Blue Guard Innovations has also now designed a complete app where I can, on my phone right now, I can see exactly what's going on with my boat. Whether the bilge pump is going off, how warm the temperature is in the engine room, whether somebody came in the door. If somebody opens the door, I get a note that says. So they're so much more than just the BGI. So check out Blue Guard Innovations, BlueBGI.com.
And it's crazy because I hear like every 2 or 3 months you mentioning something else. That's...
Yeah, they keep adding to this, and it's really
cool.
Fantastic.
Really cool.
It's absolutely
cool.
Incredible. What we have in this day and age.
Technology today.
It's incredible.
Yeah,
right.
It's really great. Yeah. Hey, here's a guy that's just got an incredible fish story to tell right here. Captain Mark Risch, our private boater buddy with our fishdope.com report. Good morning, Mark.
Morning, Pete, Corey, John.
It's good to hear you.
It's a little different story here today.
You had quite a week.
Oh, geez. So, what is it, Pete? Like 27 years, I think.
Yep.
I've shared the latest and greatest in information to help your time on the water more fun and productive. And I got a bit of that today, plus a little more, a little personal part of the story that is not easy for me to share, but I've been told I should do such things. So, this is from last Sunday. It's an old fish story, honest to God report. So, John and I headed out on his edge water. Those deep drop those swordfish off of Newport, and man, they've been biting. Yesterday was a big day. They just clobbered them.
Wow.
There is so much fish. And yeah, one of my buddies, unfortunately, pulled on one for almost 6 hours, lost at 8 o'clock last night.
Oh.
But, anyway, we get our gear deployed 1,400 feet of water. We had two buoy rods out, one 850 and one at 1,000, and start our drift. Solid DSL, good fish marks, you know, it looked good. And 11:30, John gets bit on the deep rod there at 1,000 feet. So he's pulling hard on his first swordfish, and I got fired up. And about an hour and a half later, we got it gaffed. We're muscling it through the transom door, and he needs a bigger transom door. We were having some issues getting it through there. And what an awesome moment. I mean, it's just, you know, big game fishing, when you got that throw of victory, it's just unbelievable. But it was an awesome moment until it wasn't. So I'm pulling on the flying gaff rope. I was a little bit up forward. And I just felt something go wrong inside. And but we had to get the fish in and secure it, so we kept at it and worked through that pain and pressure. But they were undeniable. And John looks at me and says, "You okay?" I said, "Eh, not really." So we headed back at warp speed. Fortunately, it was calm, and John's boat is fast. And we got to the harbor department, and they talked me into calling the paramedics. And a few minutes later, just after getting in the ambulance, it was lights out for me. Absolute, total, 100% lights out. I just saw nothing, heard nothing. And it turned out to be full cardiac arrest, a 100% blockage of the left anterior descending artery, which is the one they call the Widowmaker.
Oh, yeah.
And it is it's a testament to the miracles of modern medicine that I am standing here telling you guys a story right now.
Pretty wow. Darn incredible, Mark.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
they brought you back, basically,
and
with the paddles and CPR and the expertise of the paramedics and after a surgery in the hospital, you're here to live and tell the story, right?
It's crazy. I mean, this all happened about 3 in the afternoon, and by 6:30 or 7, I'm sitting up eating Salisbury steak in my room.
Wow.
and ready to go home, walking around the next day. They let me out a little bit later, and I worked a full day yesterday feeling an absolute 100% fine. I just feel fine.
That's great. Incredible, it's Mark. This, I mean, it happened this week, and like you said, you've worked a day, you feel great, and here you are giving a fish report. On this end, you can't even tell, Mark, and it's awesome to hear your voice.
Yeah, well, thanks for sharing that story. I know it's not easy to share that because when you have a near-death experience, right?
I had at least 20 nurses and doctors come to me and say, you just have no idea how lucky you are because most people don't make it.
Wow.
So when you're working on that, you know, that success in angling comes from preparation and opportunity. Make sure you add yourself to that preparation part. You know, take a little care, go to your doctor, get checked out, take the drugs, get the exercise, stop the smoking, all that crap they tell you that most of us guys don't want to do. I would do it because, I don't know about you guys. I personally want to be catching these things for a long, long time.
Yeah, that's a wake-up call. And, you know, listen to your body. Is so important, and you did, and you knew something was wrong, so good on you that you didn't, you know, do a typical guy thing. It's like, I'm fine, right? And the other thing, too, I want to mention, too, is, guys, it's only a fish. Don't forget. I mean, if you're pulling, you don't feel good, hand that fish off. Just, you know, it's only a fish.
And, I don't think you could have put it any better, Pete, really.
Yeah. That way you'll live to catch one another day.
There will be other times.
Yeah, for sure. Right.
But anyway, guys, that's this week's report, special report.
Yeah, very special.
I hope to be back with our regular programming next week, although we got the storm coming. Guys, I'd get your licks in today, tomorrow, maybe Monday, because this one looks like the real deal that's coming. This is cold, and it's got a lot of wind, and they're talking about a lot of rain.
Ooh.
Yeah, this might be the end of some of that fantastic offshore fishing we've been having.
Well, I hate to bring it to reality, but it's the end of November.
Yeah, it's December 1st next Sunday, right?
And the bottom line is, you still got 3 days.
Yeah. And we got 3 beautiful days coming up. And, of course, fishdope.com, they have all the great stuff there. And they just do such a great job there, Danny and Jeff and such. And $20 off a new membership to fishdope.com using the code HOOKUPNOW, lowercase, no space. What a great holiday gift. a membership that lasts a full year to fishdope.com, and they have gift certificates and cards too for you, Sue.
And there's nothing better than for your fishing buddy. If you're going out fishing with your buddy,
yep,
nothing better to gift.
He doesn't have Fish Dope, get him a Fish Dope gift certificate for sure. Hey, Mark, and how do we find you?
Well, we're in Huntington Beach, corner of Bolsa Chica and Edinger by the big Chevron station. Phone number is area code 714-840-4262. The website is PacificEdgeTackle.com, and we'll talk to you guys next week.
Yes, we're very happy for that, Mark. Thanks for sharing that personal story with us. We really appreciate it. All right.
Thanks, buddy. We'll talk to you
next week. All right. Happy Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Sure.
And all the way from Bolsa Chica and Edinger all the way down to Mission Bay and Seaforth Sport Fishing. Good morning, Marcos.
Good morning, guys. How are you doing today?
Good.
Great.
Well, barring some weather in the middle of the week there, we had some good fishing still going on. Like I said, this is rolling right along here, man. It's some great fishing. San Diego yesterday, back down out there looking. 35 anglers had 55 yellowfin, 75 yellowtail. So very good fishing there still. Some boats coming back earlier in the week. Those boats fishing offshore there, the 1.5 days, day and 3/4, the 2 days, also doing very well. Pacifica had 33 bluefin and 200 yellowfin on trip earlier in the week, and they are back out there. So, I mean, we joke about it, but you might literally be able to have bluefin for Thanksgiving this year.
No question. Yeah, we heard from Mike on the Tribute earlier in the show today, and they're getting them today on the Tribute.
Absolutely. You know, we got the Pacifica out there, the Pride, the Tribute's out there. The Aztec's leaving on a 2-day trip this morning. And definitely check the website, you know, especially if you might, you know, have a little bit of a different schedule there. We've got, like, the Aztec leaving on 2-day this morning, getting back Tuesday morning. So instead of leaving at night, we did that last year. It was very popular. We're doing it this year. It's very popular. Like I said, it's the last week of November, and you guys are still coming out here. And this might be the first year where the crew's throwing the towel before the passengers, man. They've had a great season.
No kidding. They got to do maintenance at some point, right?
Right.
Speaking of the Aztec, Captain Greg Gowett will be on Let's Talk Hookup 1 week from tomorrow. So he'll have some fresh information back from that 2.5-day trip and have some good new stuff to tell us, too.
Perfect. So, yeah, check out the website there, seaforthlanding.com. We've got those half-day trips running. Still picking away at the bottom there. Some very good fishing. It's been a pretty consistent year there. Like I said, if you just want to go out there, catch some fish, if you have someone that's new to fishing and you just want them to feel the fish pulling the line there, you can't really go wrong with the half day right now. It's been some great bottom fishing. We have those full days on the San Diego, those 1 days, 2 days, day and a half, day and 3/4 days, lots of options there, and all of them are catching fish. So
fantastic.
Seaforthlanding.com. Check out the website there. Our full schedule is up there for all those trips. You can make those reservations online. You can always give us a call at the office, 619-224-3383. Come down, visit us in person. Guessing if you've been fishing all year, your gear might need a tune-up, so definitely come down and get that all set up. Don't put it away quite yet. We keep saying this, keep pushing it back, but there's still fishing to be had, so definitely come down. This is the new restaurant next door. Petition for that Rock Cod Rick breakfast burrito, and then get out fishing.
Sounds great, Marcos. Appreciate the call this morning, and we will talk to you after Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving. We'll see you next. Talk to you next Saturday.
Yeah, definitely.
Happy Thanksgiving, guys.
Definitely good stuff, Marcos, and appreciate the great report. And today it's sponsored by Anza Knives, handcrafting knives in the USA for over 3 decades. Check out the new Fish Pro series from Anza Knives, made from high carbon steel, which holds a great edge and is easy to sharpen. The Fish Pro series are the finest fillet knives ever produced. Anza also offers knives for military, law enforcement, and hunting. Check AnzaKnives.com for more details. Get the Fish Pro series at Fishman's Processing.
Yeah, they have them, and they use them every day. I was there yesterday watching Raymond use that Fish Pro series. That's
you talk about an awesome gift for that loved one in your life that's an outdoorsman or fisherman. That's couldn't be a better gift, really.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you want, if you're up in the Costa Mesa area, next Saturday and Sunday, the Crossroads of the West Gun Show will be happening at the Orange County Fair and Event Center. And Don from Anza Knives will be there with some great deals on Anza Knives, including the Fish Pro Series. So
you know,
go see Don at the Crossroads of the West Gun Show in Costa Mesa next Saturday and Sunday.
Awesome guy.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Let's go ahead and jump into those jam-packed phones. They're giving away those 2 great prizes, and people want to talk to John.
Hey, they want a pair of the Maui Jim sunglasses or the overnight trip out of 22nd Street on the Freedom. Let's talk to, how about Doug, our good friend from Montebello. We welcome you to Let's Talk Hookup, Doug.
Hi, I was wondering on those big long range trips, how many knots would you actually recommend learn how to tie really well, like a 16-day trips?
Well, we were talking about that off the air here just a few minutes ago, is that I get guys that know how to tie 10 knots. They normally have one knot that they continually tie. And my recommendation is if you want to learn a couple of knots that you have a lot of faith in, learn how to tie those knots to the point where you can do them blindfolded. There really wouldn't be any reason that I can think of to know how to tie 10 different knots if, in fact, you have two of those knots mastered.
Indeed. Unless it was like you were talking, John, like the spectra to spectra or mono to fluorocarbon or whether it's the spectra to fluorocarbon. I mean, okay, so there's a case for three different knots, right?
That's correct. Those are different knots, not for the same application.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, you might have 10 in your arsenal, but like you said earlier, you promised there's going to be one that's your favorite.
That's correct. I mean, you have a bunch of knots you know, but invariably you will continue to tie the one knot that's your favorite.
And confident.
Right. And I have three knots that I tie. San Diego Jam knot, I tie the John Collins knot, and I tie the back-to-back uni.
That's
my inventory.
That's my whole world, too.
Same, yeah.
And those are all three good knots.
Yeah. kind of done away with the back-to-back uni because of John sitting next to me here.
But I use that for connecting spectra to spectra or connecting the mono to the fluorocarbon leader.
I got you.
If that's the case, that's what I would use that back-to-back uni. Unless I got a new this. What's it? The seven turn? What did you call it?
It's called a seven. I call it a 7-7.
I'm gonna have to learn that.
It's seven wraps one way, seven wraps another way, and a little careful when you pull them all together, but when you slide it together very slowly and cinch it down, it's nice and small, and it does not fail.
All right.
Okay. And it's for solid spectra, not for hollow spectra.
Okay. Hollow spectra, you can do the...
You can do the inside connection.
The inside connection, which is seamless.
That's great.
And
100%. Seamless.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks, Doug, for the call. Appreciate that.
Let's talk to Mark. Mark's calling from Santee this morning. Welcome to the show this morning, Mark.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Great.
I got a question. I know the San Diego knot. I used a uni, double uni.
Right.
But what is the best knot that's out there? Because there's so many knots. Does it depend on the fish or your personal preference?
John?
I honestly, without hesitation, it depends on your personal preference and what you have the most confidence in. Once you learn how to tie, you can try tying several different knots. Which one do you feel the most comfortable in tying? Because most of the knots out there are good knots. If you feel very comfortable tying it, you want to learn how to tie that knot until you can do it with your eyes closed, and then use that knot.
And once you've used it, John, you've caught several nice fish. I mean, after the first one, you gain confidence.
Exactly. I've caught numerous fish over 200 pounds on that Springer knot, and I have 100% confidence in that knot.
Because you've landed the fish
that's
you're talking about.
Yeah, yes. That is correct.
Are there knots that you wouldn't recommend to people?
And I know I'm going to get some flack for this.
It's all right. No, I want to hear what the knot guru says.
The one knot that I do not tie is a Palomar. And the reason I don't tie it, because it's so easy to cross it.
Yep.
And if you cross it, you can kiss your fish goodbye, especially if it's a nice fish.
It's an easy knot to tie, but it's easy to mess up.
That is correct.
Okay,
if you tie it right, it's a good knot.
Right.
Don't get me wrong. But it's really easy, and if your hands are shaking and you know you got to get that knot tied and back in the water right away, it's a very easy knot to make a mistake on.
So let me ask you about a knot that I grew up tying. This is the first knot I ever learned. It was the Improved Clinch. That was the knot I used to use. And I've gone away from the Improved Clinch because I had some failures on it.
That's correct. I have too.
Yeah, and on mono or fluorocarbon and gone to the San Diego knot.
For some reason, on that Improved Clinch knot, and I can't tell you what line manufacturers, but there's certain lines it doesn't tie good on.
Yes.
It just doesn't tie.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah. But interestingly enough, on solid spectra, on solid Power Pro, the Improved Clinch to a hook works great.
Yeah, it does, yeah. If that's in fact what you want to use.
Yeah.
Most guys don't want to use Spectre to the hook.
Right.
They want to use a
but if you
at
do that,
least a short piece of fluorocarbon or mono,
yeah.
One of the two.
Yeah. All right. Thanks a lot for the phone call this morning. Let's go. Let's talk to Fred. Fred's calling all the way from Boise, Idaho. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup, Fred.
Hey, thank you for the pump there. I used to be Fred from Woodland Hills. Anyhow.
All right. Are you listening to us on the Let's Talk Hookup app there in Idaho?
It's fabulous. I got to tell you, it's just absolutely fabulous. One thing I wanted to mention is the fact that what I've done with the John Collins knot is I take two pieces of doweling, about 3-4 inches long, half-inch doweling, and I wrap some finger tape around it, and then I take, once I tie the knot, I take both the fluorocarbon and the Spectra, and I wrap a couple turns around the doweling, and then I use that to pull the knot tight. Now, if that knot's going to fail, I guarantee you that will fail there. Very rarely does it ever fail, but you really have a great knot once it's cinched down properly. And also, the one question I had was when do you ever change the knot to something like the Bob Sands knot on heavier line, like 100 pounds? I don't know.
Yeah, I've used that knot on. I use the RP knot up to about 100-pound line, up to 80 in particular. Once I go to 130-pound, I tie the Tony Pena or Bob Sands knot. That's what I use for 100 and 130-pound. The reason I don't broadcast that so much is that I'm going to say 95% of the people that use this knot are on trips shorter than the long trips where you fish heavy line. 40-pound, 30-pound, 50-pound.
Yeah.
The RP knot is great for that. But I do tie the Tony Pena or the Bob Sands knot, whichever you want to call it, on 100 and 130-pound line.
Oh, so over 100, you're going to one of those
knots. 100 or 130. That's
okay.
Correct.
All right. And that's a little more complicated knot. But very
a little bit. It just takes a little bit longer to tie. It's not so much that it's complicated. There's just a little bit more involved in tying it.
It's not as bulky or more bulky?
It ties down pretty small. It's a longer knot than the John Collins or the RP knot, but it still has a very small profile as far as the diameter around the line that you're tying it.
All right. Very good. Hey, hope that helps you out, Fred. Thanks for calling us from Boise, Idaho. Appreciate that and listening to us on the Let's Talk Hookup app, which is truly an amazing thing. If you haven't downloaded it, it's free. A download, you can listen to live shows. You can listen to archive shows. You can look at our website, all our Instagram, our Facebook.
Upcoming
shows, everything. Adam does such a fantastic job keeping that app updated, so be sure to check it out. Let's Talk Hookup app. Just go to the App Store or the Google Play Store, depending on which phone or device you have, and download it. It's free.
Hey, even I did it.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know what?
It's easy.
And thousands and thousands of our listeners are listening to us on that app, which is really great.
Super easy.
For sure.
And let's talk to Rich. Rich called from Bradley this morning. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup, Rich.
Well, thanks, and happy Thanksgiving to everybody.
Yes, sir.
Same to you.
Yeah, it's a great day up here, and I've been tying the John Collins knot for really small line in my for drop shotting for bass, 6-pound test, 6-pound fluoro, and then I've also been using it for 65-pound Spectra to 40-pound fluoro for out in the ocean. But I've had an issue with those size lines at having it absolutely stop my cast when I'm trying to use a shorter leader. And I'm wondering, is your recommendation to either put the knot outside of the tip of the rod for casting or go much deeper into the reel?
My top shots, when I fish bait, all my top shots, when I cast my bait, my connection is between the first guide and the reel. That's what I use as far as length of connection goes. So depending on the length of the rod will depend on the length of your top shot. And I have never, I don't know what the problem is unless you've got miniature guides on the rod, but I don't know what the problem would be. I have never had an issue where it doesn't just slide right through the guides when
and,
I cast.
And it could be the little tag in that maybe isn't trimmed close enough up to the barrels that you've created.
That's always a possibility, too.
It could be.
So let me ask you, on the John Collins knot, speaking of the tag end, do you trim that right tight?
I trim that one much tighter than I do on the Springer knot.
It's not going to slip.
No. Once you snap that line to lock that knot in place, that's as tight as it's going to get at that point.
Let's talk about that for a second, because that's a very important step.
The snap.
Is the snap on the John Collins. You watch the video on our YouTube channel. Why is that snap important?
It just locks the knot. I mean, the lines, you can pull them nice and slow and slide them together, but when you snap it, it just literally locks everything down in place. Obviously, if you're doing it with 6-pound line, you can't snap it very hard. You're going to snap the line to do it.
Right.
But on 30, 40, 50, 60, or whatever, you get that knot started and you start to slide it down and you wrap a couple of wraps around each hand and you give it a jerk. And I mean, it literally locks the knot in place at that point in time.
It makes a difference when you snap it.
It does. It really does.
Do you notice that, Corey?
Absolutely. Yeah. It does. And I think Rich might have that just a hair of a tagline sticking out, and that's what's grabbing the guides. I truly believe.
Yeah.
Now, you guys both do a lot of freshwater bass fishing. Do you use the John Collins knot?
Absolutely.
Freshwater bass fishing?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Crawdad fishing?
Yeah.
Hey,
you fish crawdads in the
freshwater? No, not me. This guy. Hey, I know. You know, from Sean Trobles.
I like him.
You've impacted lives from Sean to Booger. I mean, Booger talks about you every time.
Don Sansom.
Yeah.
I don't know. Our listeners know, but John Collins is also a legendary big bass guy.
Seriously, legendary. Yeah.
How many over 10? Any numbers?
Well.
Or do you count them over 15?
No. Well, I could, but I don't nowhere near as many. No. And this is, in fact, true. It's not like one of the other individuals in the bass fishing community that was recently chastised amongst all the bass fishermen.
This is real deal stuff. Right. No, this is legitimate.
This is legitimate. I do have 376 bass over 10 pounds.
That's crazy.
376.
And what a lot of anglers don't understand, and because I
these are freshwater bass.
But these because, are green bass, right, yeah, freshwater. Bass.
Because I understand your mojo and what you're doing and how you're doing it. You're setting up on prominent rock piles or structure, and you're metering these fish.
That's correct.
And actually setting up just to catch that fish on the meter.
That's correct.
It's a hunt. It is truly.
It is a hunt. Yeah.
It totally reminds me of Bill Murph era.
Murphy. He was a legendary individual in bass fishing.
Yes. And that's where I put you, John. Honestly.
I truly enjoy fishing bass, and I, honest to God, if I don't see them, I don't fish them.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that.
Really? I use my
electronics just like the guys in the ocean are using their electronics to find schools of fish. I'm not so much looking for school, but I'm looking for the right one. And I've seen enough of them on a meter to know whether it's a good fish or
really?
One that's medium or what. Oh, yeah.
What kind of meter are you running?
I have a Lowrance liquid crystal that's pretty
darn
good.
With a really good transducer.
HDS-7 is what I have. Yeah.
With a good transducer.
Good transducer. It comes with the unit.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a good transducer.
So, yeah.
But if you have it tuned in properly and you see enough fish and you set up on them, you catch them, after a while, you can tell pretty much what size it is. A big arc doesn't necessarily mean a big fish. It's a thickness at the apex of the arc that gives you an indication of how nice that fish is.
Interesting.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
That's pretty cool. And it's truly an art. I mean, what he's doing
is hunting
fish down. You might have five favorite spots on that lake, but by the time you meter the first one, second one, and third one, you may not find that fish at all if it's even on the fourth or fifth spot.
I've spent as much as 3 hours going to spot to spot
just looking.
To spot to spot
until,
and then go back to one that you'd already looked at earlier, and boom, all of a sudden, time of day.
The reason I bring this up is because you truly have impacted lives that with guys that are huge into it, you know, and it's a neat deal. It's pretty cool.
He's good at sharing too, which a lot of bass guys don't do.
I will. I'll share information. Yeah. Not so much spots and time of day of spots. I'll give individual guys some guidance as to get them going in the right direction.
Here's a story that Boog has told me five times at least, and it's. He was so puckered up. You don't have a net on the boat, and you had a 12-pounder on and just reach down there and lift the thing. Just do it, man. And he was so puckered up the fact that he was possibly going to lose your fish, you know.
And he told that to Sean, and Sean said, Booker, don't worry about it. If you lose it, you lose it. It's no big thing. You got it up to the boat. It's a catch.
It's
right
a catch.
There at the boat.
You metered it.
If you don't lip it right and it comes off, say, don't worry, John ain't gonna get worried about it.
So you're not using that?
No. I never use a net. Never.
Good for you. Hey, Rich, thanks a lot for the phone call.
Oh, definitely good story. So we're going to have a lot more of them coming up with John Collins when we return on Southern California Sport Fishing Voice. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Let's Talk Hookup app and network.
This is Captain Tim Ekstrom from the long-range vessel Royal Star. With my partners Randy Toussaint and Brian Sims, we have set the bar of the long-range fishing experience. A spring 8-day, summer 5-day, or a fly-down, fly-back 11-day winter trip, we deliver the highest quality long-range voyage you will find. From our premium RSW fish storage to our top-of-the-line chefs and crew, Royal Star distinguishes itself from all others. Want to grab a spot on the Royal Star? Check us out at RoyalStarSportFishing.com or call Tracy at 619-224-4764.
It's Yamaha's Why Wait for Spring Fall Sales event from October 1st to November 26th. Take advantage of special offers on eligible new 2.5 to 300 horsepower 4-strokes and be ready to hit the water in spring. For details, visit YamahaOutboards.com or your local Yamaha Outboards dealer today. Yamaha, reliability starts here. For a limited time only, offer ends November 26, 2019, subject to change. Other restrictions and conditions apply. Select models excluded. See authorized participating Yamaha Outboard dealers for details. Cannot be used with any other Yamaha offer.
Sport fishing, not just for dad anymore. At Dana Wharf Sport Fishing, kids fish free every Sunday. Free half-day fishing trip and clinic free for kids 12 and under every Sunday at Dana Wharf. Join the Dana Wharf Kids Club and get over $100 of really cool stuff like 2 free fishing trips, a free whale watch trip, and more. Dana Wharf, everyone's favorite since 1971. Click DanaWharf.com or visit them in the Dana Point Harbor, the bass capital of the West, and only minutes from the 5 Freeway in Orange County. DanaWharf.com, where kids fish free.
This is Captain Art Taylor of the Searcher. 2020 is the golden anniversary of Cape Polaris and Searcher. Come help us celebrate 50 amazing years in sport fishing. Searcher has a great crew, awesome food, air-conditioned cabins and galley, and an RSW system to preserve your catch. Our 2020 schedule is available now, so this is a golden opportunity to make your reservation online at SearcherSportFishing.com or call Celia or Callie at 619-226-2400.
I can't wait to spend some quality time with my son fishing this year, teaching him about casting, how to choose bait, set the hook, and how to be safe on the water by always wearing a life jacket. Save the ones you love. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
All right, welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. I give you the telephone number, but the lines are full, and when somebody does drop off, it's 833-288-0973. We're giving away a pair of Maui Jims, a Byron Bay, and an overnight trip on the Freedom out of 22nd Street. Thanks, John, for bringing that. And
oh, you're more than welcome.
Yeah, an overnight trip. You could be fishing the islands. You could be fishing tuna.
Yeah, a lot of options there on the Freedom out of 22nd Street.
On a great
Street.
Boat, too. I mean, it's a great wonderful boat.
Yeah, they do such a great job.
They do.
You know, and want to remind you, our phone system here at the Fan, how it works is you're going to get a ring stone. So when all the lines are full, like right now, it's just going to ring. If you stay on the line, as soon as one drops off, you'll be in the queue. You're up on the queue.
By the order you're calling.
Yeah, for sure. All right, let's jump into it so we can free one up for him.
Let's do it. Let's talk to Tim. Tim Cohn from Valley Center this morning. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup, Tim.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Happy Thanksgiving.
You too.
Hey, I heard John talking about the Tony Pena knot and kind of answering my question, but he said something about the mono to the Spectra, and I was pretty sure that was the Tony Pena knot. But my other question was, he's got all that footage going on. Is he using the Spydro? I won that Spydro from you guys like a month ago.
Oh, yeah. Have you used it?
No, I haven't used it, but I got to talk to the guy named Rob called me that owns it, and he's going to set it up for me.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
You'll have to fill us in when you get it.
I mean, I got the Spydro, but I've got to set it up with the guy.
Yeah,
that
when you use it. Yeah, indeed.
Yeah. So is that what you're doing? Is he using a Spydro to get the footage, or is he...
Are you using an underwater camera to get footage?
to get footage.
I'm not sure what footage you're talking about.
He could be talking about the footage that I was talking about Kevin had.
The right.
The Wahoo going from hook to hook to hook.
Oh, right. Yeah. That's what you're...
And I believe he got that on the Water Wolf.
Yeah.
So it's a...
So you'll have to call... Next Saturday.
There's going to be some crazy stories,
yeah, this
I'm
is
sure.
a new guy to yeah. Let's Talk Hookup and friend of Corey's, and he's going to be a new guy. He's got some good stories, you said.
Crazy. That's all I can say.
Okay. All
crazy.
Right. So tune in next Saturday, Tim, and enjoy that spy drill. Thanks a lot for the call this morning.
Let's talk to Mitch. Mitch calling from Santee. Welcome, Mitch, to Let's Talk Hookup.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Turkey Day.
Thank
you. I got a call question for not guru, John. I've been catching some yellowfin off the coast here, San Diego, and I don't go anything above 40. I go 40 monofilament, then I go to 40 pounds fluorocarbon. And I just use a double quench knot. And once you get above the 40-pound test, it's kind of hard to tie. What do you suggest for, say, 50, 60 and above a splicing knot? Now, I know if you're going to go braid, probably the heavier fish, braid to fluorocarbon, what knot would you suggest?
I would suggest either the RP knot, John Collins knot, as some people call it, or the Tony Pena knot. Those are the only two connections that I ever use when I tie fluorocarbon or mono to braid. And my usage is a short top shot. My top shot, as I've said earlier, when I cast my bait, my connection is between my first guide and my reel. I do not want the connection on my reel when I cast because I don't want it rubbing across my thumb when I cast. In order to avoid that, you'd have to have a 25 to 50-yard top shot, and I never used a top shot that long, ever.
So your top shot's about 8 to 10 feet?
Yeah, 10 to 12 feet, depending on the length of the rod.
Okay, all right. Correct. And you're only using fluorocarbon?
For the most part. Wahoo is the only exception. I'll use 10 to 12 feet of monofilament to my wire, to my braid.
Okay. All right. Hope that helps you out, Mitch. Thanks a lot for the phone call this morning.
Let's talk to Brian. Brian calling for Wildemar this morning. Hey, Brian, welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Good morning, guys. Happy Thanksgiving to all you and your family.
Thank you.
I wanted to ask John, how do you personally fish a mackerel for tuna in a deeper water column, like a rubber band in a torpedo, egg sinker in a Carolina keeper, nose hook, butt hook? Teach me how.
Well, when I use a sinker, I always nose hook a bait, number one. You can use, there's several different ways you can use it. You can use a slider with a stopper so that the slider doesn't keep going down to the hook itself. You can use some people don't use a stopper. They use the slider and let the bait swim around. I think it gives you, in some occasions, too much line between the sinker and the hook. I've seen the rubber band work just fine on a torpedo sinker. So it's just a matter of what the boat recommends and what the preference is for the particular time. But any time I use a sinker, any time, I always nose hook my bait. Mackerel, sardine, whatever.
Yeah, it's very important. I mean, you want the thing going down easy. You want it coming up easy. You don't want the hook in the back end and dragging it backwards.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And by the time it gets down to maybe the depth you want to get it to, the bait's wasted. The hook could eventually just pull out against the pressure.
Right.
On mackerel, are you sideways to the nose?
That's correct. Sideways to the nose.
Yeah. Okay.
Exactly.
Very good. Gotta like it, Brian. Hopefully that helps you out this morning. Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk to Chuck. Chuck calling from Dana Point. Welcome to the show this morning, Chuck.
Hey, you guys. Hey, happy tuna Thanksgiving.
Exactly.
How about that, huh?
Now, you answered my one question. What was your favorite fishing? So it's obviously bass fishing, like some of us.
I wouldn't say favorite, but it's a lot of fun. Don't get me wrong.
It brings a smile to you.
Oh yeah.
Now on a my heavier jigs like the flat falls and stuff. The last time out on the Liberty, my kid catches me doing the double San Diego. He goes, the single San Diego's just as strong. Do you agree with that? Am I wasting my time doing the double?
I figure if you're tying a double San Diego, it only makes sense to me that it's got to be stronger than a single San Diego. And if I was fishing these big bluefin on a flat fall, I would either crimp or I would tie a double San Diego. No exceptions whatsoever.
Well, you've got two lines instead of one at the eye of the,
exactly,
the lure or the hook, right?
And you've got two wrapping around it. You've got two to close it down. It's a little bulky knot, but when you're fishing a flat fall for bluefin in 200 to 300 feet of water, they're not going to see it, number one. And you, to me, it's a confidence builder that when I hook something on that, I'm not worried about the knot breaking at all.
Yeah,
nice.
It's not going
to happen. And you don't have to worry about it being stealthy fishing a jig.
Exactly.
Yeah, but versus on a hook, with a live bait, it's a different
situation. On a fly line, especially when you're fishing very close or right on the surface, yeah, sometimes that's stealthy. Like this year, especially at Guadalupe, small hooks were the name of the game. And if you got to use a small hook, then you're going to need a small connection to go on that hook.
And you're tying?
The Springer knot.
The Springer knot. Okay. All right. Well, okay, let's do a different scenario. You're down at Hurricane Bank. You're fishing 130-pound on a live bait. What's the connection to the hook?
Springer knot.
Come on!
No.
Really?
I've caught several fish over 200 pounds on that Springer knot.
And you can tie it up to what pound test?
I don't fish anything heavier than 130, so I tie it on 80, 100, 130. That's
okay.
All I use, really.
All right.
Interesting.
Okay, I got to go back and back to the drawing board and start using this.
Just got to be careful you don't overlap. And
yep,
John's used a very key word is make sure the lines are parallel.
Yeah. Because it's easy to tie, but you got to watch that video.
It is easy, and I can't tell you, Pete, I so help me God, in the last 2 years, I cannot tell you how many people have changed over and using that particular knot.
Yeah.
They just love it.
Because I was using it on the Royal Star, and with their big knot, it's a trilene knot, which is a great double knot.
Oh, it's a good knot.
But
it's a little involved.
It's more involved.
Exactly.
Yeah. But it's very, very strong, and I've caught a lot of big
knots. What I found, anytime you teach somebody a knot, if it's an involved knot, you've lost them after 5 seconds. You just lose their attention.
Yeah.
They figure, I'm not going to remember how to tie this knot. So they go through the motions of paying attention to what you're saying, and they've totally forgot what you showed them.
One ear and out the other, and their interest is gone.
And when you show them how to tie an easier knot, you can just tell their interest is perked up. They're really paying attention to it. And then you do it a second time, and they say, here's the stuff. You try it and see how you can do
it. Like, I can do that.
And 9 times out of 10, they do it right the first time.
Really?
Nice.
Yeah. All right.
9 times out of 10.
Yeah. Who is Springer?
Springer is a guy. I made a mistake, and it's too late to change it now. I thought the guy's name years ago on the Royal Polaris. We had a guy hook a tuna. It weighed 250 pounds. That's what it wound up weighing. 6 o'clock in the morning, he hooked the fish, and at 12:30, we gaffed it.
Whoa!
On that fish for 6.5 hours.
Oh, crazy!
Brutal.
Yeah. When that thing hit the deck, one of the first things I look at the hook. My eye is drawn to the hook. And usually you see a crimp or whatever. And I saw a knotted connection. And I'm looking at it, and I said, 6.5 hours. I gotta see what this knot is. And I thought the guy's name was Springer. It turned out to be a different name. But in any event, I'm stuck with the name Springer. So that's the name of the knot.
That's all right. It's 2x2. It's a catchy name.
But he showed me how to tie this knot, and I said, I am impressed. Anybody that can pull on a friggin' 250-pound tuna for 6.5 hours and not have the knot fail, that's a knot.
That's a good knot. And there it is.
So, and that's basically how it happened. That was about 8, 9 years ago.
9 years ago.
Awesome.
Yeah. Chuck, thanks a lot for the call this morning.
Such great stories.
Yeah.
Let's talk to Don. Don Cohn from Woodland Hills this morning. Welcome to the show, Don.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Morning.
Mr. Collins, John, it's always a pleasure listening to you talk about your knots. I just wanted to share a quick story with you.
Okay.
I was out on the Liberty on a day trip, and thanks to you, Pete, that was a day pass that I'd won here about a year ago.
Fantastic.
And there was a young man that was not catching any fish, and he was counting the number of baits, and he was up well over 50 baits that he had sent out, not a single bite.
Wow.
Well, he got bit off, he lost his connection, he lost the whole thing, and he needed some help. So I took some time and showed him how to do the John Collins knot for his leader and also how to do the San Diego. So 4 hours he hadn't caught any fish. 2 hours later I asked him how he was doing. He had a big smile on his face. He had 3 yellowfin tuna, and a few minutes later he got hooked up again.
Nice.
So he went from zero to hero, and I know it's because I was able, one, to take the time to show him the knots, but two, I love the John Collins knot. I use it. I've caught big fish on it, and thank you very much.
You're more than welcome, and I'm glad to hear that.
Yep.
I'm just waiting for the call when somebody says, that knot isn't worth a darn. Unfortunately, that call hasn't come through at this point in time.
And Don, good for you for helping out a fellow passenger, too.
That's
really cool.
Yeah, that's what it's all about.
Thanks a lot for the call and sharing your knowledge, for sure, like John does with us here. And we try and do every week on Let's Talk Hookup. That's our thing.
I love learning.
Share the knowledge of all the great people in the fishing industry.
Hey, when I describe the stories where he's impacted, you know, Sean and Boog and Don Sampson, I mean, those anybody knows.
Yeah, for sure. Speaking of guys that impacted the fishing industry, we got to take a moment to talk about Big Daddy, and that is Richard Hightower. I know he's a good friend of yours.
Very good friend.
We wanted to talk about him. His recent passing.
Yeah.
Just such a great guy.
I listened to the show last week or the week before last. I'm not sure which one it was when they spent some time talking about Richard and his impact on the industry.
Yeah, Dale Hightower was here, and
correct. Yeah, and I wanted to call in, and I thought, you know what? I didn't want to interrupt the show itself. I thought I knew I was coming on this show the next week, so I thought I'd wait and tell my story on the show here when I was on the show itself. But the hearing, the passing of Richard was a terrible thing. He was, in my opinion, one of the icons of the sport fishing industry.
No doubt.
We had a trip one year. I was talking to him. I always wanted to go to Alaska, and he said, well, I want to go too. And I said, well, I'll tell you what, let's set something up. And we went with Kingfisher, mainly because we heard it so much on the show. Yeah. They didn't know anything about Alaska and so forth. So we went up to Kingfisher. It was myself, Richard, and a couple of other friends of mine. And our goal was to catch, one of us to catch one halibut over 200 pounds. So we got up there. He took some All-Star rods when he was sponsoring All-Star, and he had some dual reels, and he was going to give them to the Kingfisher people after we left, just leave them there and let them use them and so forth. So we went out with this one guide for a couple of days, and we did really good. And then Seth set us up with one of the hot shots that were at the one of the guides there, the hot shots. Not that they're not all good. This guy was maybe one step above the majority of them. And he asked us what our thing was. We got the salmon out of the way right away. We wanted to catch a big halibut. I said, we don't have any intentions of keeping any of the big halibut that we catch. We kept the smaller ones for eating. We just want to catch one. We do that commercial measurement in the water and then release them. And he said, let me take you to a spot. So he took us to this one spot. We got anchored up. And I kid you not, our first drop, there's four of us on the boat. All four of us were hooked up at the same time.
Oh, on the first drop.
On the very first drop. Once these fish got up one at a time, each one was over 200 pounds.
Oh, crazy.
My biggest was 256. I think Richard had one that was 230, 240. One of the other ones was 250, 260. And the biggest one was caught by a very good friend of mine, Lee K. Cook. He wound up, based on the commercial measurement, his fish was 323.
Holy shenanigans.
This was on the very first drop of the third day we fished up there.
Wow.
We wound up getting five more. So we had nine fish over 200 on that.
All released.
That's crazy.
It was incredible.
All released.
All released.
Yeah.
Every one of them was released. We kept the 80 to 100-pound fish for eating.
Yep.
But we just wanted to get one up. And I mean to tell you, you see one of those fish come up.
Pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's like the whole bottom of the ocean is coming visible at the same time.
They're
so friggin' big.
They call them barn doors for a reason, because they kind of look like a barn door.
They're huge.
Up. Yeah, they are huge.
And as long as you keep them up and keep them just below the surface, they don't go ballistic.
Yeah.
They get a gulp of air, and they go absolutely crazy.
You pull that the head out.
And our guide released him. He was tickled pink that we released those big fish. Yeah. Released them maybe for somebody else to hook him.
Yeah, that's awesome. What a great story. And that was with Richard Hightower.
That was with Richard. Now, we went lingcod fishing, and he wound up getting a 56-pound lingcod.
It's so crazy.
It was incredible.
Wow.
Dinosaur.
No, and Richard was a legend in the business, and we're going to miss him.
No question
about
that.
No doubt about it. Yeah. You know, when I talked about Western Outdoor News, I failed to mention that a great article this week in Western Outdoor News about another great guy in the industry that we just lost, and that's Joe Higgins. He was a legendary guy with Western Outdoor News. And Bob Twilliger, the publisher of Western Outdoor News, had some great statements in that article about Joe and what an amazing sales guy was and what an amazing human being he was. He grew up in Chicago, and they're going to have a memorial service for him in Chicago on December 7th. But he... my wife, who spent 16 years in Chicago, even knew Joe from just hanging out in Chicago. And she's not a fishing person. She just knew, oh, yeah, Joe Higgins. Everybody knows Joe Higgins in, wow, in all the bars and hanging out in Chicago. And her friend back there knows him. And that's the kind of impact that guy had. And,
crazy.
But check that article out in Western Outdoor News, that nice comments by Bob Twilley.
And that was a nice write-up 2 weeks ago when they had one in there about Richard. It was a very nice article.
Yeah, they did a good job, yeah.
Very good.
I forget who wrote that article. Was it Paul Liebowitz that wrote it? I'm not sure, but did a nice job.
Kind of brought a tear to my eye.
Yeah. Mr. Newell, man. The guy, he put Newell on the map.
And he had a smile on his face that was to die for.
Yes, he did. And he was always helping out people, too.
Always. Yeah, but he loved the fish wahoo. Oh, boy. Mackerel mining.
He just loved the fish.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, let's try and sneak in one more, Corey.
Let's do it. Let's talk to, he's been very patient, John from Mira Mesa. Welcome to the show this morning, John. We appreciate you joining us.
Hey, thanks for getting me in there. So earlier, John, you mentioned the triple surgeon's knot for joining mono to fluoro, and that's the knot I use as well for that. But how heavy do you feel safe going with that? Because I only use that up to 40 pounds.
You can use heavier line than that. I've tied it for people when I worked on the boats there. I tied it on 50, 60, 80. I've tied it for other people. I particularly don't use mono to fluorocarbon. I always use my fluorocarbon right to my Spectra, so that would be an inappropriate knot to try to tie that. But I have tied it on heavier line. I've never seen that knot fail. It's a good knot. The one thing to keep in mind, though, is it's a knot that when you cast, it has to be outside the tip in order to cast it. It's bulky. Yeah, it is a bulky knot.
Yeah. So you're just using it for like 2 or 3 feet.
Yeah. 3 feet, 4 feet, whatever. So that when you do cast, it is outside the tip and it doesn't hang up on your guides when it goes through the guides.
Yeah. Seaguar knot and the surgeon's knot are
pretty much the same thing.
Right?
Exactly.
Same knot, just a different methodology in tying it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The end result is the same.
Hey, John, thanks a lot for the call this morning. I have a quick question before we run out of time, too. You're talking about dropper looping those giant yellows
at Guadalupe.
How are you tying your dropper loop?
I tie a standard dropper loop. It's very similar. It's like a five-turn surgeon loop.
Five-turn surgeon loop.
Yeah, okay. Very similar to a five-turn surgeon loop.
Okay.
I use it, and it's doubled up, so I tie a double San Diego on the hook, whatever pound or weight you're going to use, 16-ounce normally is the weight of choice for current and to keep your line straight. And when I fish yellowtail on the dropper loop at Guadalupe, I do not fish anything less than a 100-pound test line.
Okay.
You're putting a bait right at their front door, and they come up to eat that thing. They're very close to going right back home again, and they've got more power than any yellowtail anywhere you're going to ever catch.
They get 2 or 3 feet, it's over.
You set the hook on one of those. You don't want to see if they're there. You want to keep turning that handle. I guarantee you. Once you get a few turns on them, they're going to let you know they're there.
Yeah.
But you want to get them up off the bottom as quickly as you can and keep pulling on that fish.
Man, that is so much fun.
Oh, those things are incredible.
It is so much fun.
I'm going to be there on... I leave this Friday.
You lucky devil.
Oh, yeah. Lucky guy.
On the World Polaris, yep.
Great stories and great knowledge. We appreciate you sharing all that, John. And we're going to be right back on Let's Talk Hookup. We're going to find out who's won these killer prizes. We return on Let's Talk Hookup app and network.
When it comes to fishing rods for saltwater, there's just one name you need to know, CalStar. Take, for example, the Graphiter series. It's a true graphite and fiberglass composite rod, the finest it's ever been built. And for anglers seeking traditional performance, durability, and quality at an affordable price, the CalStar West Coast series of rods and blanks are the ones for you. Their master craftsmen bring decades of rod building experience to every rod they make. So if you want your fishing rods to be truly state-of-the-art, I always recommend CalStar at fine tackle stores everywhere.
This is Greg Stotesbury from AFCO. For more than 58 years, the American Fishing Tackle Company has been recognized as the premier manufacturer of precision-built offshore fishing tackle. AFCO continues this tradition today with an innovative technical fishing clothing line designed and built by fishermen for fishermen. From our next-generation waterproof shorts like Tactical or Stealth to our new anhydrous waterproof jacket and bibs, the entire AFCO clothing line is purpose-built with the latest AFTEC fabrics and features designed to deliver for the demanding angler. To find AFCO products, go to AFCO.com and find a dealer near you.
It's another innovation from Seaguar, the proven leader in saltwater leader material. Introducing new Gold Label Leader. It's Seaguar's thinnest leader material yet, 18% thinner and 17% stronger than any other Seaguar leader. That means it's even less visible underwater and creates more natural presentations for better catch rates in clear water and on leader-shy fish. New Gold Label is made with exclusive Seaguar fluorocarbon resins in a double structure process which provides exceptional knot and tensile strength. Yet it's soft and cinches easily for fail-safe knots. Get Seaguar Gold Label at your favorite tackle dealer or learn more at Seaguar.com.
For over five decades, Lee Palm Sport Fishing has set the standard in long-range fishing that they pioneered long ago. The Red Rooster 3 sets a new standard of excellence. The Red Rooster 3 is one of the most modern, quiet, and fastest long-range vessels in the fleet. They have handpicked the finest crew to make your trip a memorable one. The Red Rooster 3 offers trips from 3 to 18 days and runs year-round to the best fishing spots on the planet. Ride the Red Rooster 3 once and you'll be back again. Call the Red Rooster 3 at 619-224-3800 or see them on the web at redrooster3.com. A top fleet and superb fishing is what Seaforth Sport Fishing in Mission Bay is all about. With free parking and fully stocked tackle shop, it's no wonder Seaforth Sport Fishing is a favorite among anglers. Come aboard top boats like the Aztec, Cortez, Endeavor, Apollo, Outer Limits, El Gato Dos, Pride, Tribute, Pacific Voyager, and the Voyager. Plus, the new Seaforth Sea Watch in San Diego offer the finest half and full day trips available. Seaforth Sport Fishing. For charters or regular open party schedule, check seaforthlanding.com. Run by fishermen for fishermen in Mission Bay.
All right, welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup on the Let's Talk Hookup app and network. We've had two awesome winners, one for the Maui Jim sunglasses, the Byron Bay, going all the way to Boise, Idaho, to Mr. Fred.
All right, yes. Congratulations, Fred. You'll enjoy those Maui Jim sunglasses.
Super stoked. Yes, yeah. And everybody was on hold still. You got into the running, and Brian from Harupa Valleys won the overnight trip on the Freedom out of 22nd Street. You could thank John and Mark, and not Paul, but Mark and the guys there, and right. and the Bill Varney calendar.
Yeah, the 2020 calendar. Center. Yeah, indeed.
It's going to Brian.
Shows you, if you don't get on, we can't get you. Brian, we never could get to his call, but
he won. Golly,
he won. So, John Collins. Such a great show, man. I mean, just like
very
so much fun having you on the air, and you're so knowledgeable, and we sure appreciate all your knowledge that you're sharing.
Pete, I can't believe 2 hours has gone by.
It goes by
already.
Fast, doesn't
I'm
it?
Looking at my watch. I'm going, holy mackerel,
yeah.
It's over.
Yeah,
I have one word to say about Mr. John Cullen, or John here, is humble.
Yes.
Yep. That's my one word.
This guy catches a lot of big fish, and if you want to learn... go on a trip with you guys, with him.
Yeah. I have 5 trips scheduled, 3 on the Independence and 2 on the Royal Polaris.
So just ask Judy in the Independence office or the guys
or
in the
Monica
Royal Polaris.
Royal Polaris.
In the Royal Polaris. Which trip is John going on? I want to go fishing with him.
Oh, yeah.
That's it.
Next to every good man is a good woman.
Indeed. Hey, thanks a lot to Brian and, of course, Adam for all their support here, right here. And tomorrow, great show with Greg Stotesbury from AFCO. We're going to learn about swordfish fishing, about
he just got off
fishing.
A 330 fish day.
It's going to he's going to have some great stories. Tomorrow morning, 7 to 9 a.m., right back here. We'll see you then on Let's Talk Hookup.
He's incredible, Greg.